The Dallas Stars have crept back into their Western Conference Final Series with the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll look ahead to Game 6 from both teams' perspective, and we will discuss the Florida Panthers, who are waiting for the winner. All that and more on today's Locked On NHL podcast.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome, everybody, to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Want to thank everyone for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast to get the latest episodes before they drop. And we are also available now on SiriusXM on the SXM app. Just do a search for Locked On NHL. It is my pleasure to welcome back to the program Chris Garlick of Locked On VGK. And Chris, great start to the series, up 3-0. Struggled the last two games. It's now going back to Dallas for game six. What was the big difference between the first three games and the last two for the Vegas Golden Knights?
Turnovers. Bruce Cassidy in his post-game press conference after game five, his quote was, "You cannot turn the puck over 24 times and expect to win a hockey game." The exact quote, or close to it, was, "You're not going to beat the Arizona Coyotes in January when you turn the puck over 24 times, let alone the Dallas Stars, you know, in basically June." So that's the first thing. And I think you have to start by giving credit to the Dallas Stars for two desperate victories and a real nice, what I felt, in-game adjustment to step up their forecheck and keep the Golden Knights kind of on their heels and unable to get those clean exits and those quick transitions that they've been known for these playoffs.
So, okay, this is a chess match, obviously. Dallas adjusts their forecheck. How does VGK respond to get the advantage back?
So there's a couple of things there, and this is basically just kind of regurgitating what Cassidy was saying. I mean, you got to be responsible in your zone first. You got to have, you know, who's ever making that first pass has to have a couple of options first and foremost. If Dallas has one option covered, there better be another option. You start there. And it also goes to playing a cleaner game on the offensive side of the puck, so you're not burning as much energy playing defense, getting pucks deep, chipping them deep, and winning those board battles in the corners. So, you know, when the puck is on the other side of the ice, you know, that the team on that side is burning energy. So that's probably a big part of it, but it's just really about cleaning up their game right now. It's just what it comes down to.
And is there a player or two or three players who you feel would be the big key to making that, be the catalyst to making those changes?
I mean, on the defensive side, you know, at times, like, listen, Alec Martinez and Pietrangelo, they are the rocks of our defense. They are the ones who are going to be out there in the most stressful of situations. And at times, you know, when you're watching some of the goals, like the goal that Jason Robertson got in game four from the puck that bounced off the back of the boards, Alec Martinez kind of had his back to him. I'm not blaming Martinez. It's just kind of one of those weird plays. One of the VGK players that does drive me nuts, I mean, White Cloud had a real bad turnover that led to the fourth Dallas Stars goal on Saturday nights. But Brandon McNabb, he's someone who isn't playing a very clean game in the defensive zone, unfortunately. So, you know, it definitely starts with someone like that cleaning up their game. And then it all kind of comes from there. Nick Hague and Zach White Cloud, outside of White Cloud's one, you know, bad turnover, unfortunately, they've played very responsibly. Martinez and Pietrangelo. I mean, Pietrangelo, you haven't seen a whole lot. He had a power play goal in game three, but we haven't seen a whole lot from him. So, you know, I'm going to put a lot of this on the defense right now to keep it clean and hopefully give Aiden Hill a little bit of an easier ride. Man, he had a lot of pressure on Saturday.
Yeah, no question. How do you feel VGK is handling the pressure of, you know, losing the last two games, having to go back to Dallas? And would that pressure be even bigger if it goes back to Vegas for game seven?
No. I say this because One of the games where I had my media credentials for, I asked Alex Pietrangelo. I think they had just lost like a bad game to the Sharks and things in the middle of the season. We're just not spiraling, but, you know, it's just a couple rough games. And I said, hey, what's the vibe right now with the guys? Like, is there panic? Is there concern? Is this the time where someone gets up on the chair and makes one of those speeches? And basically he kind of shunned me off, said, we're going to come back and go to work tomorrow. We're going to fix this. And he dismissed it very quickly. But it didn't come across as, I mean, you've been around, Gil. You know how these guys are sometimes. There are some athletes that give you much better answers, and there are some athletes that just kind of, you know, it was a good game, it was a good team game, and they go to the next question, you know, and they kind of, you know, BS their way through it, so to speak. But that's what I thought I was getting from Pietrangelo. But then you watch the response, and, you know, he's been there before. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been deep in the playoffs. He's had, you know, series go both ways. I believe the Blues came back against Cassidy and the Bruins from a 3-1 deficit to win the Stanley Cup. Don't quote me 100%, but I think that's how that one shook out. I know at least the Bruins were up 3-2 in that series. And, well, I've been the other way around. Either way, point being, he's been here before, as I'm rambling on and on in our short segment here, as Alec Martinez has been there before. Mark Stone's been there on the Vegas side before now. Jonathan Quick, not playing in the playoffs, but he's backing up. He is helping Aiden Hill and Brossoit when he was in there and the other players. So there is so much veteran leadership on this team where I don't think there is any level of panic. Is there some concern? Of course. I mean, that's, you know, human nature. But at the end of the day, I think two things. One, you have enough vets in this lineup where they're going to keep everybody calm. Cassidy's been around the block a few times as well. And number two, you know, you just got to look at the odds here. Four times since the seven-game series, you know, playoff format started, you know, going back to 1942, I believe, is the first time the reverse sweep happened. And then only three more times since then. Now, I think it's happened also twice since 2010, if I'm not mistaken. So Right. Maybe it's happening a little more frequently. But, you know, I'm pretty confident. Not as confident as I was, obviously. But, you know, just give Dallas credit. Like, they're not going to roll over and die. They're playing with house money right now. They got nothing to lose if they lay an egg right now, and they have everything to gain if it goes well. So they're playing loose, they're playing relaxed, and, you know, Vegas is playing a little tight right now.
Talk to me about Aiden Hill. He's been so good throughout these playoffs, and I can't say I blame the loss in game five on him.
Oh, God, no. No, the only goal in that game that looked a little rough was, I believe, I don't know if it was Delandria's goal, but it was the third goal where it looked like just kind of a nothing shots. But then when you watch the replay, it did deflect off Pietrangelo's stick. And listen, it's hard enough to stop a 90-mile-an-hour puck. Now when you have a split second less to react, it's unless it hits you, you got no shot at that. So the fourth goal he got pushed into, I mean, Aiden Hill was phenomenal. He had, I mean, I don't know if ESPN is even acknowledging hockey in their top 10 anymore, but I feel like he should have had the at least a play in the top five for that save coming across the crease as a stick came out of his hands. And there was another save early in the game that was remarkable. I mean, listen, since he came in basically cold, I want to say in game three of the Oilers series, he has just been remarkable. You haven't heard Cassidy, you know, make a comment like in the regular season, oh, if we just had that one more save, you know, we would have had a better game. It's not like that at all. The team is rallying around him, just like they rallied around Laurent Brossoit. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, listen, the way things are going, you know, Jonathan Quick might draw and Aiden Hill might get hurt again. So who knows? And if that's the case, we might be coming on Wednesday or Thursday for a strange midweek show.
Yeah, that would be a different twist for sure. Chris, why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they could find you on social media and where they could find the podcast?
I like how you didn't put Tony in there this time. Yeah. Now you can find me on Twitter at TD Christie. That's like touchdown TD Christie. Locked on Vegas Golden Knights on YouTube. Please go there and subscribe. The numbers are, you know, really going up right now, and we really appreciate that. But if you got a second for us, definitely subscribe. Give us a couple likes if you don't mind as well. And of course, anywhere you find your podcasts, simply search us and bam, there we are.
All right, Chris, always a pleasure, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Have a great night. Hopefully we'll see you soon talking about a Western Conference victory.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. Well, it's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. So get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, available to U.S. customers only. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Well, the Western Conference Final has been a real roller coaster ride, and it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Dane Lewis of Locked On Stars. Stars back in it after winning the last two. And Dane, what's been the biggest difference in the last two games that have allowed the Stars to stay alive?
Yeah, well, it's I feel like there's several different avenues you can go down when you're looking for the exact reason for the Stars' success over the past two games, but a lot of it has just been continuing to play their game and not really, you know, cracking under the pressure. You know, you talk about or the illusion in sports a lot of the times, or really, I guess, anywhere in life, but I think it applies here in this series, is the Stars are the, you know, the duck on the pond where, you know, they're calm and collected on top, where they're not letting the pressure get to them, but they're still working incredibly hard, you know, under the water, kicking like crazy to be able to move, to be able to navigate. So that's kind of where the Stars are at right now, where, you know, they're having to play level-headed. They're having to keep their composure and play near-perfect hockey, because this Vegas team is incredibly disciplined, incredibly well-coached under Bruce Cassidy. And the Stars, over the last two games, have, you know, done a really good job of, for the most part, avoiding penalties and not giving the Vegas Golden Knights too many good looks in order to, you know, make Jake Oettinger's life more difficult. And it's really just been a team effort across the board ever since Game 3. Of course, Jamie Benn has been out of the picture, but the Stars get him back in Game 6 after his suspension. And so it's been other guys stepping up. I mean, you saw Ty Dellandrea, a guy who's been a bottom six player almost the entirety of the season. He gets two goals in Game 5. Luke Glendinning, a fourth line guy, he gets a goal in Game 5 as well. Jason Robertson is finally starting to look like the player we expected him to be in this postseason. He's up to, I think he scored a goal in nearly every game this series. He has 7 now on the postseason, 5 in this series against the Golden Knights. So it's been everybody chipping in. And of course, Jake Oettinger has been lights out ever since the Stars have been on the brink of elimination. I don't have all of the numbers in front of me, but if you look at his numbers across every elimination game he's been in, including last year, 2 of them against Calgary, and then this year, 1 against Seattle, and then a few now against the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, it's a well above 900 save percentage, only allowing 2 or so goals a game. So it's been, you know, the Stars coming together as a team and recognizing that, you know, there's still a long way to go. They still need to win 2 more games. But with each and every game that passes, if they continue to win, you start to believe a little bit more that this team just got off to a slow and unfortunate start in this series. They found themselves on the losing end of 2 overtime affairs in games 1 and 2. And you're starting to see that, you know, this series is close and tightly contested, and the Stars very much have what it takes to hang with this Vegas Golden Knights team.
You mentioned Jamie Benn before. How did the Stars handle his suspension, and what does his return mean coming into Game 6?
Well, the Stars were very supportive of Jamie Benn, not necessarily in what he did, but in the fact that he's the leader of the team. They were unapologetically acknowledging the fact that he is the captain of the team, and that they take great pride in having him as the captain, and they were going to do everything they could in order to make sure he got to play at least 1 more game this season. And the Stars held up their end of the deal. Of course, no one on the team was supporting what he did to Mark Stone. Obviously, I think the suspension was warranted. The 5-minute major was warranted, the ejection from the game, all of that warranted. And I think at the end of the day, and you know, some people will choose to not believe this and believe that Jamie Benn is just a dirty player out to hurt people. And I don't believe that to be the case. I do think that he let his emotions get the best of him in the moment and, you know, let his actions maybe speak a little too loudly in a moment that, you know, really did hurt the team. But I think the Stars are excited to have him back. And Pete DeBoer in his media appearances ever since the end of Game 5 have indicated that Jamie has been very excited and has been ready to get back in. That he hates, you know, having to watch from the press box or having to just watch games. He wants to be out there on the ice with his guys and with his team. And you know that he feels awful for what he did and feels awful for putting the team in the position that he did where they found themselves down 3-0. But now he has a chance to come back and redeem himself and potentially help, you know, help his team do something that's never been done, come back down 3-0 in a conference final series. That's never, it's been done in the playoffs, I think four times, but never been done in the conference finals. So it's, you know, pretty lucky. You might say that Jamie Benn does get one more chance, but I mean, it's lining up for him to, you know, redeem himself a little bit after putting the Stars in a hole at the beginning of game three.
How important is it that game six is back in Dallas?
Oh, it's big. And I've been saying this on Locked On Stars that game five was so important because you need to prove, obviously it's win or go home in game five, but if you win that game, you prove that you can win in Vegas and that it's not impossible to defeat the Golden Knights on home ice, where they've been pretty good throughout the entirety of the postseason. And the Stars themselves have been very good on home ice throughout the entire postseason. They've now only lost one home game per series, game ones against Minnesota and Seattle, game three against the Vegas Golden Knights. And so now the Stars, you know, it's not that there's less pressure. There's of course still pressure of you're on the brink of elimination, but you get to be in your building. You get to sleep in your own bed the night before. You've got 18,000 plus of your fan base at, right there behind you and right there with you every shift of the game. So, I mean, it's exciting. And, you know, if you had told me at the end of game three that we would be in this situation and that the Stars would be getting to play in front of their home crowd one more time, I'm not sure that I would have believed you. But I mean, it's huge because we know the Stars can win at home. And now we also know that they can win in Vegas. So if they can win this one at home, the pressure is on the Vegas Golden Knights to defend home ice, as they're the ones who are, you know, then they find themselves on the brink of elimination as well after it seemed like they had the series all locked up at the end of game three.
So what's the biggest key for the Stars to win game six and possibly even win game seven?
Yeah, the key is just to keep the foot on the pedal. They've done a great job over the past few games of driving to the net and getting a lot of their goals in close. The Vegas Golden Knights play a very disciplined structure of defense where they kind of crowd the slot and crowd a lot of the outside shooting lanes. And so they're either getting bodies on pucks or Aiden Hill is able to read those shots and make an easy save. But if you look at a lot of the goals over the past couple of games, they come from in tight and they come from around the slot or around the crease. And so they're having to make Aiden Hill work to make those saves. And when he's been put in that situation, he's been successful at times, but he's also let quite a few go in, whether it's a Luke Glendening tip in from a Thomas Harley slap shot at the top or Jason Robertson working his way down low. It's been that recipe that's worked for the Stars. So every now and then you can get one from far out to go. If you have a guy like Roope Hintz or Joe Pavelski or even Jason Robertson who can let it fly from out there, but the recipe for the Stars in games four and five have been to get in down low and make Aiden Hill work for those saves, because he'll make them every now and then. He's proven that he's a good goalie here in these playoffs, but he is beatable, and he's very beatable if you can get down low and make him scramble and put him in those high danger scoring chance opportunities. And if the Stars are able to keep doing that, and if they can do just enough defensively in front of Jake Oettinger, they have a great chance to win these next two games.
All right. Well, Dane, I know you'll be following it every step of the way. Why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Of course, they can find the Locked On Stars podcast on YouTube or any podcasting platform of choice. You have it right on the head that we'll be following this game and following the remainder of this series and hopefully even beyond if the Stars are able to make history and pull off the comeback. And if anyone's interested in following along on Twitter, they can search for the podcast on Instagram or Twitter, just search Locked On Stars. And myself personally, just search Dane, at Dane _Lewis. And yeah, that's just about everywhere that I can be found. And if there's anyone out there looking for more Stars info, we've got you covered at all those spots.
All right, Dane, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Of course. Thank you, Gil.
It is my pleasure to welcome back to the show a man who's been on a real roller coaster ride, but enjoying every minute of it this spring and into the summer now as we hit Memorial Day, Armando Velez, the host of Locked On Florida Panthers. And congratulations, Armando, to the Panthers. They sweep Carolina and now waiting for an opponent between Vegas and Dallas. But, you know, we know that right now the Panthers are going to have at least a week off in between games. Do you think that's something that helps them or hurts them or maybe a little bit of both?
Gil, thank you once again for having me on the show. It's been a wild ride for the Florida Panthers getting here, and crazy the heartbreak that they dealt with last season, getting swept by the Tampa Bay Lightning and having to change the way this team was built, with of course the big trade with sending out Jonathan Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk and the coaching change, and now they're here and not your typical ace seed playing playoff hockey since January 1 of this year. But it's crazy because the Panthers, their road to the Stanley Cup final, they've been through both, because 2 days after beating the Boston Bruins in 7 games, they go immediately to the series against the Toronto Maple Leafs and win the first 3 games there. They win against the Toronto Maple Leafs in 5. They have quite a bit of a break between that and the conference final. Didn't lose a single beat. So they were able to do both of resting and a quick turnaround in between series. And here's a few interesting stats when it comes to the Florida Panthers and rest this season. The Panthers have had, in the regular season, had a stretch of 5 days off 5 times in the regular season. They're 5-0 each and every time, outscoring their opponents 29-11. This is a tweet via Adam Reed, at Adam Reed _. Prior to game one of the regular season, defeating the New York Islanders 3-1, Christmas break, they come back from it. They win against the Montreal Canadiens at home 7-2. All-star break. And before the all-star break, let me tell everybody, before the all-star break, what happened? It was the win that changed the Florida Panthers season, where they score with 3 seconds left against the Boston Bruins with Alexander Barkov, and then 13 seconds into 3-on-3 overtime with Sam Reinhart right before the all-star break. And of course, the Florida Panthers hosting the all-star game, momentum carrying from then. And then when they come back from the all-star weekend, they destroy the Tampa Bay Lightning 7-1. March 11 to March 6, 5 days, a 9-5 win over the Montreal Canadiens. You know, there's a little bit of a trend here with this Florida Panthers team. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, between round 2 and 3, a 3-2 win over Carolina in quadruple overtime. So they've won in different situations. They've had, and this has been in different parts of the season all throughout the year, Gil. So it honestly, it's going to be, I've counted now, it's going to be 10 days off for the Florida Panthers from game 4 of the Eastern Conference Final to game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Now we know when it's going to begin. It's going to begin June 3rd, 8 p.m. on TNT, at least in the States. So now this is more of a time for the Panthers to rest, recoup, get some practice time. It's not like these guys are taking vacations or anything. No. They're together. They are in meetings. They are getting their treatment necessary. I think this is going to be beneficial for the Florida Panthers because they've been through it from the beginning.
So, I mean, I think most observers, and probably even including you, expected that series against Carolina to be a little closer than 4-0, although each game was close. What was the biggest reason they were able to sweep Carolina?
Yeah, and when you think about that, Rod Brindamore, after the series, he said that they did not get swept, even though the series score indicates 4-0. And I kind of can see where Rod Brindamore is coming from, because every single game was a one goal game from game 1 all the way to 4. And man, that you're gonna look back, and if you don't click on the season series, a lot of people are going to think that the Florida Panthers did in fact destroy the Carolina Hurricanes, but that wasn't the case at all. And really it came down to the continuous tight forechecking that the Florida Panthers had, creating opportunities off of their opponents' mistakes. And of course the goaltending, Sergei Bobrovsky for the Florida Panthers. He's been lights out for the Panthers as well. And here's an interesting stat as well, as far as shot block leaders in the NHL postseason, at least from before, this was before game 5 of Vegas Dallas. Number 1 was the Panthers in block shots. Number 2 was Vegas. The problem with the Panthers last year in their series against Tampa Bay was their inability to get shots to the goaltender, not making Andre Vasilevskiy's life hard. And then they put that on a complete 180 and do it on their end as well. So it's Bobrovsky's getting the job done, and the defense around him is also getting the job done. And their penalty killing has just been progressing even better all throughout the playoffs. They're getting, like, this was a unit that went 59% against the Boston Bruins in round one, and then they go 12-14 in the third round against the Carolina Hurricanes on the PK, and both of the power play goals that they gave up was in game one. Right. Sergei Bobrovsky gave up was 55 of 55 at even strength in game one, keeping the Florida Panthers in it. And it's just been different ways of winning, whether it's been even strength in game one and then shutting it down with the special teams unit from games 3-4 as well.
So, I mean, I know both of these potential opponents are not easy teams to beat, but no way. Style-wise, do you think that the Panthers match up better with one of these two teams in a potential Stanley Cup final?
I think the Panthers are more similar to the Vegas Golden Knights as far as that. I do think that the Dallas Stars do have the better goaltender when it comes to this series. But as far as what's around the goaltender, I mean, Adin Hill, he's a journeyman goalie. And like I said earlier with the shot blocks, those guys can get in front of pucks as well. And of course we all know what, even though Jack Eichel is currently on a little bit of a goalless streak, we know what he's capable of as well. Jason Robertson on the other side has come alive as well. Even though Joe Pavelski has missed the rest of round one against the Minnesota Wild and came back in round two, he's definitely a dangerous on the power play, especially if he got that game winning goal for them in game four to keep their season alive. So it's going to be a challenge regardless for this Florida Panthers team, and the players, it doesn't matter who they're going to face. Both have great power play units as well. I mean, Miro Heiskanen has definitely come alive. Of course, with John Klingberg not being on the Dallas Stars anymore, we see more of like what his potential is as a number one defenseman as well. And of course, Vegas Golden Knights, they have Alex Pietrangelo there as well. So they have superstar players who are on the defensive end as well, like Mark Stone. He was a Selke Trophy candidate finalist the year that Alexander Barkov won as well. And of course, the multiple surgeries that he has had, he's back with the team, and he's definitely been a difference maker there on the defensive end. So the two different teams just bring so many different things to the table.
All right. Well, Armando, it's going to be a heck of a Stanley Cup final. Why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media as you break it all down for everybody?
They can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. Follow the show account on Twitter at LO_FLA Panthers. They could also follow the show account on Instagram as well at LO_FLA Panthers. It is booming there as well. Locked On Panthers, wherever you listen to podcasts, and give our YouTube channel also a subscription as well, as you could see, of course, these new graphics on the Locked On NHL Network just in time for the Stanley Cup final.
All right, Armando, thank you so much. Great to have you here.
Thank you as always, Gil.
All right, I want to thank my guest, Chris Golic of Locked On VGK, Dane Lewis of Locked On Stars, and Armando Velez of Locked On Florida Panthers for joining me today and discussing the biggest stories from around the Stanley Cup Finals and the Conference Finals as well. I want to thank everyone for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Every dayers, we will keep you up to date on all things Stanley Cup playoffs all week long right here on the Locked On NHL podcast. So make sure you join us for that. I'm Gil Martin. I'm here every Monday hosting the show. I also co-host the Friday edition with Rachel Donner. Have a great Memorial Day holiday, those of you in the United States. Stay safe, everyone, and thanks for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.